Mā rei, ko rea, wahine toa, Awerangi Tamihere, she joins us now. Me tuku mihi ki a koe, Awerangi, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on Irirangi Wāte. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
So big week last week, huge week. How did it all go? How many of our whānau members did we get vaccinated?
I think we got a total of 2,760-something vaccinations from the total Whānau Ora Battalion response last week into Taitokorau.
Oh, yep. That's incredible. Congratulations. Paki paki.
That, 60% were first-timers, 40% second-time, 85% Māori.
That is fantastic. You see, I guess, you know, that raises the question about, you know, our Māori are hesitant, our Māori communities are inaccessible, our Māori don't want, you know, they don't want this, they don't want that. I mean, that blows all that in the face, doesn't it? Because if it is available to them, they'll come out. If you go to them, they'll come to you. They're not inaccessible. They might not just like what you look like, but you turn up, you know, and they'll come out and see you. And are they hesitant? Not really. Maybe it's because they can't get to wherever the vaccinations are. There's so many myth busting in that exercise that you had done, or in that service that you supported, Whānau Ora up north. So many myth busting in that.
Well, yeah, you know, it was our Whānau Ora partners right across the Taitokorau had worked hard for the last 4 weeks to plan out how they would best use the services of Te Whānau Waipareira to support them in their campaign last week, and they know best their communities. So Waipareira was there to support the good work of our Whānau Ora partners up there already. And you know what it's like up there, the resources get more scarce and scarce, and they are overworked, they are tired. Sometimes it's just two people for a whole area. You know, like in the Hokianga, they are stretched with the resources. So being able to come and support them intensively for a week made a big difference. But, you know, we even took our cars up with the audio system on the top that we're used to in the city, going around and doing it. Well, here we were. We had our cars, our pilots, and they had nannies, for example, just out of Pangaroo when we were in Broadwood one place. And they bought some of the nannies from Pangaroo in the cars. We had two cars. We were all split up into different areas. And they took them down long gravel roads. I said, that house vax, that house is not vax. So our people would just put their speakerphone on, not go to the house, and just have a kōrero with them. You know, and I'll just never forget Pawairinga. They talked to a whānau, two houses on this gravel road, 25 kilometres away from the vaccination clinic in Broadwood. And 10 of them drove 25 kilometres as a result of that to come and get vaccinated. So, you know, there's goodwill there, the intention is there, but as you say, it's not rocket science, but you must go to the people. And if you do it in our way, then that is what makes a difference.
It also raises other issues that COVID has very much highlighted the inequities in our health system, and we already knew that, but actually this gives it, this makes it even more vivid in front of the eyes of those that were deniers of the inequities. And so this also highlights what must be done in terms of health rollout for our whānau, particularly our whānau, not in the rural areas, absolutely, but also too stuck in the you know, machinations of the urban areas. What should be done to engage them with a system, with a system, not necessarily the current system?
Yeah, and you know, our Whānau Ora partners have been around for a long time, some of them 35, 40 years, you know. They know their communities like none other. They just needed to be able to financially support it so they could do their solutions their way, which they know work on the ground. I mean, it's been proven time and time again, and this campaign and the last week in particular just highlights to everyone that if you give Māori solutions and pay for Māori solutions, the uptake would have been there. If this had been put in place months ago, we would have had a very different result we're looking at right now about the number of Māori vaccinated right across Aotearoa.
That is very true. And also, too, we've got to talk about the data as well, too. You know, Ashley Bloomfield was reneging on that, withholding that. How is the situation now in the media, in the Pākehā media? They're saying that they're working with you, with Whānau Ora, to access some of the information. How is that working with you going? How's that going for them?
Well, we don't have the data. We haven't got the data yet. And in fact, Whānau Ora has gone back to court yesterday to take them back for another urgent hearing about it. I'm going to give an example. In Northland, we were just having to put a lot of time and effort and intelligence on the ground about where our people up there knew of the houses. But if we had had that data last week, we would have doubled. Without a doubt, we would have got at least 5,000 Māori vaccinated up north. I mean, and time is not on our side. Time is running out. I mean, in Auckland, you can see we've got a large number now, particularly in West Auckland, in the last 2 weeks of Māori who are now positive or directly in contact with people who are positive. And they are unvaccinated, whānau. So time is not on our side. Data is of the absolute essence. And last week was an example where we still could have had the capacity and capability, if we had the data, to do at least 5,000 without a doubt.
One of the things that's been talked about around this data is you wanted to know what was there to be able to do your job. Actually, would you also have known what was not there that could have also have assisted your rollout? Because we go there to find out what is there, but just as glaringly obvious as what they do not have, is that an issue for you that there may be glaring gaps in this information and data?
Yep, what isn't there is the fact that our Māori providers aren't there, visible, first in line by our whānau up and down the streets, being able to offer them vaccinations. You know, it was incredible. We're in Kaitaia, and at one of the mobile vans with Te Hiku Hauora was there, and they just had all the whānau in the street by their mailbox vaccinating them all the way down. You know, like I'm talking about, it's not so much what isn't there, it's the fact that what we could do if we were given the resources to do it. One of the things also that last week highlighted to us is that collectively we have so much to offer. So Te Whānau Waipiraira being able to go up and support our whānau water partners in Te Tai Tukero just sets the scene for other Māori organisations. Don't be pitted against each other by traditional competition, by whānau, by other funders spitting up. Come together, because you know our strength is in our collective capability. And last week was about we needed all of our partners together with ourselves to really make the difference, but we can do that. So last week was very much a milestone about, you often hear that word collective impact, working together collectively. Well, as a result of working collectively last week, this is what you saw. And we learned so much from our partners up there about how we could change what we do down here. So we're about to go and find those nannies and so forth that will be the co-pilots in our cars. And they learned so much from us too about what they could all do. I think they've run out of supplies up there for the megaphones and the audio systems on the car in the last week, because they're all doing that too. So it was a great capacity building for all of us too, and to learn from each other about how we continue to improve the way we work with our whānau on the ground.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, even though there, you know, I mean, we still must be vigilant. The numbers are still there. They're high Māori numbers. Our babies and tamariki are also being affected here. So we can't take the foot off the pedal here at all.
No, but we are seeing a change in, I can only talk about our testing centre and what I'm seeing in Te Whānau Waipiraira. We do have a large number of Māori who weren't actually probably anti-vax. They were just more against the system, but their families have COVID now. And so we're seeing another surge of whānau coming in who weren't wanting to be vaccinated, but because COVID has actually hit their home or the extended whānau, we're now, since last week, seeing a larger number of Māori in that group who are now coming to get vaccinated. So sometimes it's not until it touches them do they actually make the decision about what that means for them to get vaccinated.
And just hearing you speak, a lot of really great stories around, you know, manaakitanga, whakawhanaungatanga, you know, just wonderful stories. I mean, those are the types of things that really inspire us to go out and want to do more with each other and for each other. Some really great stories you've come back with.
Oh, look, you know, I don't think I'd be a mangamuka holding a sign by the border control with Honiara Weather's lot saying come and get vaccinated, you know. But, you know, I took my hat off. We had Te Rarawa there who had all the kai manaaki and the manaaki for whānau who got vaccinated sitting there alongside Hokianga House, and there was Waipiraira. You would never have known that scene together. It was just amazing, the support there. And actually the intention to come together to do things. And that's where we saw it right across from Whangarei, Kaitaia, over Pangaru, Kaikohe, Rawane. And, you know, we had anti-vaxxers. So let's just say we had lots of F-ups and so thought along the way just as much. But, you know, that's only the first stage. You don't give up on them, you know. And then that opens the door when they do all that, you know, to just have a bit more of a conversation, because our people actually know how to talk to them anyway, you know. And so, you know, we had one street in Kaitaia, which we knew from the intelligence on the ground, there were at least 50 to 60 people on this street that were not vaccinated. And when our car went down, they got every finger going and every swear word going and videos going and all the rest of it. But our people just carried on back up the street to have a conversation. Well, we're getting the data back, but of the 50 people, at least 40 people went by the end of the day and got vaccinated at the end of the street. So, you know, it's just respect for them. It's just listening to them. It's actually understanding some of the other issues they've got on their plate. It's about food on the table. It's about keeping warm. It's about dealing with the drama in their house. So you've got to listen, engage with them to understand that. And sometimes we would activate conversations to start their thinking that they would never have before, right through to having those vaccinated. So vaccinations was one part of it, but actually having the conversations to start the conversations thinking is just as important as getting vaccinated. So that was highly successful in that respect too.
Absolutely.
We got tried to get pushed off the road a couple of times, all sorts of things, but you don't give up, you keep going back.